This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today is Nathan East. This is John Floridis, and you're listening to Musicians Spotlight. I'm very pleased to welcome to the program today Nathan East. How are you doing?
Thanks, John. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Yeah, good to meet you here.
Thank you, and good to meet you as well. And we should kind of let folks know, set the scene a little bit. We're looking out over a pastoral field here.
With some horses running
past. Yeah, in Big Fork, Montana, Nathan is here for the Crown Guitar Festival, as we are recording this in late August 2018. And he's here performing as part of the festival, and as well as the workshops too.
Right.
If your name is not familiar to listeners, certainly your music will be. Certainly your playing will be. The list of performers that you've worked with, either as primarily as a bass player or as a producer or as a writer, is staggering. And I'm just going to drop some names here. I won't even get close to the whole list. We start with Eric Clapton, I think, is one of the ones that I associate you most with.
Right.
George Harrison, Michael Jackson, Phil Collins, Whitney Houston, Beyonce, Barbara Streisand, Stevie Wonder. I know it goes way, way, way deeper than that, but we'll go with that for now. Daft Punk, for those who are
Daft Punk, okay, yeah,
a little bit younger.
That was a fun record, yeah.
So that's just a fragment of the folks that you've worked with. A lot of places I can go with this interview I want to start off with just welcoming a musician's musician.
Thank you.
That's one of the highest compliments I can give.
Thank you.
And certainly, I welcome the opportunity to speak to players and musicians like yourself, who up until recently didn't put yourself and your name out in the public for consumption, but who have been so central and had the kind of careers that most musicians can only dream of. Maybe where I want to start with this is having listened to an interview online. It's for TC Electronic, I think.
Oh, okay.
It was on YouTube, so I want to give credit where credit's due. And one of the things that struck me when the gentleman who was doing the interview there was talking to you about your primary instrument, bass guitar, and your response was, "I don't necessarily think of myself as a bass player." So let's start with that, because there's a few hundred famous musicians who would argue that.
Well, you know, it's funny. We think of ourselves. I mean, for instance, we do music as, you know, that's what I do for a living, you know. So is it my life or is it what I do, you know? So that's often the question, you know. And musicians, we throw ourselves into what we do. So it does become like your life, but identity-wise, you know, you can identify with a lot of things. So I like to, keep it as open as possible.
Nathan, I wanted to ask you how the instrument, the bass guitar, came to you and how you made the decision to go that route, and maybe even go a little bit further back before that in terms of just when music really came into your life.
Right. You know, if I were to start with early memories, of course, I think in our neighborhoods, you know, you just always heard music being played, and we grew up around music. And it was in the church, and matter of fact, on television, the thing that really sparked my interest was the Charlie Brown specials. Vince Guaraldi played these, you know, and so all this cool music was being played behind this cartoon, you know, and I used to just sit there and sort of block out the visual and just listen to the music, and that's when I said, I want to do that, you know. So one Sunday I was in church with my brothers who were playing in church when we were growing up. And there was a bass on the altar, and I looked around, nobody was playing it, so I picked it up, plugged it in, and I can't even tell you what the feeling that I felt, you know. It's just like, that changed my life forever. I was 14 years old, and I started jamming with the guys, and it was like I knew I only had four strings, so it was easier than guitar, but it was like I knew the music, and there was some kind of just connection to my heart instantly.
Hmm. When we're talking about growing up in the church and so forth, where are we talking about that you grew up?
San Diego is where I grew up. Okay. I was born in Philadelphia, and my father moved there when we were young. And, that was the day it definitely found me.
Interesting. Divine intervention, maybe.
Exactly.
Happening there.
Something felt very divine about that, you know. And then obviously later on, you know, playing in the cafeteria at junior high school, picked up and started playing a bass line. I think it was Top of the Stack by James Brown. And then looking down and seeing, you know, several girls looking up.
And that was that.
And then I think I said, you know what? This is starting to look pretty much like what I want to do.
Oh, that's great.
Thank you.
Nathan, one of the things I guess I wanted to touch on is just how finding your instrument, finding your musical voice in the broad sense, and then finding a way to integrate it so well into the context of all these different styles of music. I guess where I'm going with that is what do you think it is about your personality and your talent that you have excelled at that so much, of finding your role in the whole of the music? Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something that you look for along the way. I mean, as a young musician, I was like a sponge anyway, you know, and kind of back in the day, radio, you'd hear Jimi Hendrix, then you'd hear Miles Davis on the same station. You know, you could hear Coltrane and then the Beatles, you know. So there wasn't this, you know, again, categories, you know, if you wanted to hear a certain type of music. And so for me, that meant here I'm listening to Earth, Wind & Fire and Santana and Tower of Power and all the, you know, a lot of bands were, you know, prominent back then. So I was all over the place in terms of what I was listening to, and which came in handy because the people that I met and started to work with, I had already been, you know, kind of those, their music was part of my DNA already. Mm-hmm. And then for me, it's really just trying to add as much quality. I was fortunate enough to attend University of California, San Diego, and get a degree in music there, where I was able to learn how to read music, and about, you know, played classical styles with on the upright, and so I, again, when I went to go to Los Angeles to record, I had, you know, a pretty good toolbox with me, and I feel like I was prepared to take on this challenge of recording and different genres and different studios and film music, jingles.
Yeah, we didn't even get into that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a whole other category, yeah, of huge list of stuff.
And so I wanted to be that guy that was ready with all of it.
So much of that has got to be also having the right personality. And one of the things I remember from this interview I mentioned, I referenced earlier with TC Electronic, where you said you just kind of wake up and kind of pay attention to what's going on.
Right.
You know, and I thought, oh, that speaks to me about being able to be present.
Right.
And paying attention.
And I remember early on too, reading a lot of articles, you know, when about your heroes. So, you know, Quincy Jones, I read once where he said he doesn't want any divas in the studio and he would rather have a player that wasn't quite as good as somebody that came in with attitude and disrupted his session. You know? Mm-hmm. So that really was, had a big influence on me. And I thought, you know what, that is it. 'Cause everybody comes in, you know, everybody practices and comes in with their thing, but you want to be a team, you know, and it's the power of we. And the only way you get there is definitely an attitude of, you know, gratitude and all those kind of cliches.
Yeah, yeah. That's so true, though. This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight. I'm speaking today with Nathan East. And Nathan East is the name of your first solo project, which was followed by Reverence. And one of the things I wanted to touch on in this interview is these projects and that decision pretty well into your career,
right,
to step forward, put your name out in terms of like the very first project and say,
right,
there it is. That's exactly. Always a big step for any musician.
For probably a quarter of a century, Foreplay was my solo album, you know.
Mm-hmm. So, sure. Yeah.
And so that gave me a chance to be an artist in a band and tour, and which was really great. But everybody always asks, well, when is your album going to come? Mm-hmm. You know, so I never could get away from that question, you know, about a solo album, you know. And so as much fun as I was having, I thought, you know, after all these years now, that's actually something that I haven't done, you know. And so it's great to have something brand new that after you've done all these tours, albums with other people, like this is a whole new experience, doing records and being a solo artist, and I'm really loving it, and feel like the timing is perfect as well, and so it's been a great, really great time, and I've had a chance to record with my son, did duos on
Wonderful.
Both albums, you know, so when he's 13 years old, you can hear his little voice, are you ready, dad, you
know. Oh, outstanding.
And so we've you know, that put us together. You know, here he is, 13 years old. The first album he recorded was nominated for a Grammy.
Oh.
And so it was. It's been a great ride. My label's Yamaha Entertainment Group, and they're very supportive as well. And I play Yamaha instruments for coming up on 40 years now. Mm-hmm. So it made sense on a lot of levels.
Are you ready, Dad?
Ready, son.
All right, let's do it.
Nathan, I know we need to wrap up our interview here, but I want to do just a real quick name association thing. Okay, so I'm going to toss out some of these names. Just give me like a sentence of what comes to your mind, some of these other artists that you've worked with so closely.
Okay.
Let's start with Stevie Wonder.
Oh, my goodness. Musical genius and soundtrack to our lives. You know, I mean, I can remember him being one of the first artists that I bought watching the little Motown label spin around on my turntable, and just Stevie, and now he's a dear friend, you know, and just I think probably one of the highest musicians on earth.
Beyonce,
oh my goodness, just energy. And had a chance to play on one of her records, and when she sings, you know, people listen. You know, my kids love her, so that's always a good thing to. I was cool because I played on Beyonce's record. You know? And again, just she operates at the highest level on everything she does. You see her on stage, the energy and the precision that she puts out there. It's really no wonder. The work ethic is amazing.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't surprise me. I have to ask, I'm fascinated to hear a bass player's take on working with Michael Jackson.
Oh my goodness. Again, the term work ethic comes to mind. You know, he would go into the studio, and apparently, and Bruce Sweden, you know, they logged more than 10,000 hours, of course. He said he never saw him read a lyric, you know. So that means when he got up to that microphone, he knew exactly what he was going to sing, you know. And there's a big difference between reading something and then just, you know, letting it come from your heart.
Yeah.
And so Michael Jackson, again, probably, you know, we probably won't see anybody like that ever again.
Yeah.
You know, that had, and again, 5 years old, he was singing.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to hear a musician's take on that, because we get so caught up in our culture with the celebrity and all the extracurricular stuff that you forget just what a brilliant
musician.
But
again, work ethic was, and I think he and Prince were funny, because Michael would say, oh, I don't want to go to sleep, because then God will, you know, help Prince out.
For real? Oh man, that's funny. I never heard that.
Because that's one of the questions that often comes up is who was more talented, Prince or Michael Jackson?
Apples and oranges, really, isn't
it? He can't, yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. There's no answer for that, because they're both, you know, completely beyond us mere mortals.
Mm-hmm. Only one more. I could go on and on and on, but one more, because as I said, I associate you so much with your work with Eric Clapton.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I mean, Eric is probably one of the, you know, one of the people that I've worked with that I'm most appreciative and grateful for, just because of the life experiences that we've had outside of just playing together. And, you know, for over 35 years now, I've had a chance. And then obviously before that, I was, you know, a little kid in his room, you know, playing Sunshine of Your Love, one of the first bass lines that I learned. But he has been such a mentor, role model, friend, brother, everything, you know, from A to Z. And to watch that kind of strength and spirit has just been, it's been an education that you couldn't get anywhere else. But the greatest guy ever.
I can't help but notice, after every musician I mentioned, you said, oh my goodness, you know, and what it speaks to is how much you invest in these relationships musically, as well as just as people, you know, the connections that you have with these folks. And I'm going to say for our listeners, if I may, an interesting observation, when you talked about Eric, you actually like put your hand to your chest. That's deep.
Well, it's gotta be deep. You know, these are OMG moments, you know, and for me, I always wake up, you know, just completely grateful, because I think to myself, you know, how amazing is this, that, I mean, these are people that from afar I was already, you know, admiring and just, you know, wanting to be like, you know, and then to become friends and to make music with them. It's just really still to me something that I wake up very grateful for. And, you know, it's been a ride where, you know, there haven't been that many, I can't think of any off the top of my head, that I haven't loved working with.
Yeah.
You know, it's like on every level, every genre, every situation, live. I mean, played for 250,000 people, 2 million people. I mean, it's or 20.
Yeah.
You know, and it's all the same. You know, it's all very special, very privileged for us, you know, that call ourselves musicians.
Mm. That's a great place to end the interview. NathanEast.com is the name of the website, correct?
Yes.
So that's where folks can find out more about all the different things that you're doing, all the different projects, your solo albums, as well as all your collaborations. Thank you so much for being a guest on Musician Spotlight. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, John. A pleasure.
Come down from your throne.
is John Floridist. You've been listening to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today has been Nathan East. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org, as well as through our own website, musicianspotlight.org. You can also find us online on Twitter and on Facebook. Our program is available as a downloadable podcast from those websites, as well as through iTunes. Special thanks to the Crown Guitar Festival and Workshop in Big Fork, Montana, for this interview. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.